happy Virgo season and welcome back. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school, and since then I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardsy B, as well as various tarot products and events. So a happy first official day of Virgo season, and a happy, happy early birthday to my mom, aka the Nine of Cups, whose birthday is Tuesday the 25th. She's such a Virgo. I hope you all had a good Leo season, and I know it was a really intense period. There was a lot of that fire energy of Leo itself. We also had those impactful portals of the Lion's Gate portal and then the Sirius B Stargate mid-month, as well as last Tuesday's new moon in Leo. So for me in particular, I really felt like I finally got some inspiration and some forward movement after feeling very stagnant for several months. And what I love about this time period from that kind of end of summer transition is, I mean, well, obviously it's almost fall, which means pumpkin season, almost Octoberween, almost Halloween, Samhain's around the corner, all my faves. But aside from that, I'm jumping ahead. What I really love about this time is that powerful shift from the fiery sparks of Leo season, bringing us into that really kind of grounded earthly energy of Virgo with those kind of let's get to work vibes. I'll get more into detail with Virgo specifically and the cards next week when we do the monthly overview. But before we go too far ahead, let's take a look at our last week of the cards for August 2020, which is like kind of laughing to myself as I say that, because normally the end of summer comes with that kind of bittersweet feeling of, I don't want it to be over, oh my gosh, end of August. But I think most of us are more than ready to take a last look at August 2020 and probs a last look at 2020, but I digress. So according to the Order of the Golden Dawn, August and Leo season specifically are associated with the eighth major arcana, the Strength card. So even if you don't feel that you've reached that yay, I've tamed the lion feeling of this card, think back to what occurred this month that asked you to call on your inner knowing and intrinsic strength versus attempting to force or strong arm an outcome. If you came across any situations and you were able to actually pause and respond versus just kind of harshly reacting, you truly did embrace and succeed in the energies of the Strength card. Strength is a card of intuitive knowing due to its association with the crown chakra, combined with that famous Leo confidence. So if you're still feeling stuck or unclear or uncertain in any way, I encourage you to work with this waxing moon that started because we had that new moon on Tuesday the 18th, I'm looking at my calendar. We had that new moon on the 18th and we're in that waxing period through September 2nd. So I really invite you to work with this as the moon is getting bigger, fuller, we're able to magnetize and call in to invite more of that crown chakra connection and clarity on how to move forward in Virgo season. A lot of people, friends, clients, magical peeps who sent me DMs on my Instagram have been saying things like, why do I feel more Pisces than Leo right now? Or I want to be excited and inspired, but I'm feeling so emo. I feel like a lot of us are still on that bridge of releasing what was no longer in our highest good. Again, currently Manhattan for me, and calling in what is in our best and highest interest in the now moment. And this is hard as so many of us have been trained and ingrained in the matrix to plan responsibly, to think long term. Even the way when we look at many of our jobs, we're not working in the now. We're like looking at what's next season in fashion. It's like, you know, anywhere from 12 to 18 months out, like we're designing seasons and seasons out. And financially, we're looking fiscal quarters way in advance. But this is a time that we're really being asked to make choices for our highest good in the now, in as short term as possible. Which brings me to our second card of August from the 2020 January 1st overview, the Hierophant, aka the Oprah card. Everyone gets a life lesson, Oprah voice. Everyone gets a life lesson, but I think we've been having that for most of 2020. But specifically in the energy of this card, let's look at what did we learn not just in August, but you know, leading up until this point that helped to shape us and shape our lives where they are. what's changed? You know, maybe in some ways that it's changed and it's been challenging, but what's also changed for the better? And what lessons, even if they were challenging and possibly traumatic, have helped us to evolve and grow and embrace parts of ourselves that we couldn't access or we ignored previously that we've been forced to deal with because of this very intense time? I've been only here in Pennsylvania for 2 weeks, but in that time, in the vein of the hero fam, what I've learned about myself is I actually really like being able to spend time with my family. I also really, really like having space, physical space to work, to cook, to make dinner for my loved ones, space in nature where I can walk and breathe freely, and energetic space. And I was really, really struggling just to hold my own energetic field, or hoop as it's called in shamanism, the last couple of months in New York. And I didn't realize how much that was really deteriorating my spiritual and mental well-being at the time. And as quantum physicists explain, energy, yes, it's renewable, but we all only have a set amount per second, per hour, per day. And the Hierophant really asks us to look inward and access how are we using our energy? And are we, you know, what have we learned in the process? Are we aligned? Do we feel good about those, you know, the ways that our energy is being utilized and spent? So now let's take a look at our card of the week. Seven of Cups. All right. So this card in the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck shows this mofo standing in front of seven cups that are filled with different gifts. So some are like really positive, obvious positive things like shiny jewels and golden wreaths and treasures, and others are a little questionable like snakes and dragons. And some interpretations say that those are dangerous, but I personally love snakes and dragons, so to me, they're all just different opportunities and some may have more mystery than others. But anyway, the point is, you kind of need to make a choice. You need to know what you're going to choose first, how you're going to proceed, and to do so carefully and with intuition, but also as quickly as possible. As in Seven of Cups, you know, it's that water energy of cups, so do it with intuition, but also because there are so many options, it's kind of almost like clouds or a dream that they may disappear if you hesitate too long. So it's really a card of many appealing choices, but trusting your inner knowing with how to proceed as efficiently as you can. Astrologically, Seven of Cups is Venus in Scorpio, and that is the planet of love and enchantment going into that kind of deep, imaginative Scorpio. So it really has a lot to do with you don't want to overanalyze. That can cause the mind to work on overdrive and overanalyze and overwork. And Seven of Cups reminds us it's really important to choose intuitively and choose swiftly. I feel like though this card doesn't have Virgo placements in it, it makes sense that as we start to be affected by this, you know, this new Virgo season and the energies, that back to work vibe that we talked about, many options are likely to be placed in front of us. And as I was saying in the Hierophant, how do we want to spend our time? How do we want to spend our energy? It's amazing and it can feel like, oh my gosh, now things are, whether things are opening up, whether you have more opportunity, work and socially, that can be exciting, but also it's really calling us to be as intuitive as we can with where we want to put our energy and our time and our focus. Seven of Cups is also ruled by the Chariot, and I call all of the sevens because all of the sevens are ruled by the Chariot, and the major arcana rules the minor sevens. I call the sevens the good problems to have cards because, yes, they are all cards of victory and success, but they also all come with a price to pay. And in Seven of Cups, this is to choose wisely and to, again, work with that water energy of the cups to work intuitively. So since we don't have a guest for this week, and we're just kind of wrapping up that transition from Leo into Virgo, I decided to take one of the biggest questions that has been coming up repeatedly that I didn't get a chance to address in the August Ask Cardi B segment. Many people were DMing me or clients were texting, asking the question, how can I work with cutting cords? How can I clear unwanted energies or energies that I've decided that I'm moving away from? And it's ironic because as I was literally sitting down to record this, I grabbed this sparkling, I just got this at the store here. There's so many, surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, I'm such a snobby New Yorker in some ways. I'm like, they're not gonna have the food I like, or they're not gonna have healthy options. And there's so many healthy options here. And first of all, there's like lots of amazing, like farm stands and farmers markets, but even at the regular grocery stores. So I grabbed this sparkling seltzer that was, it just stood out to me because it was like all natural, no GMOs, all of that, nothing added but natural juices. And I grabbed this to drink to sit down to record this podcast. And the tagline of this brand is, "The age of artificial is over." And I was like, that is so appropriate for cord cutting because I think a lot of us are feeling that. Like, we can't unknow what we now know, and the things that feel artificial and not aligned, you just can't. It's like that whole square peg round hole saying where you can't really force it. You're like, oh, it doesn't feel organic. It doesn't feel natural. So, you know, the message in this is kind of no to people, relationships, and situations that don't genuinely feed our soul anymore. And this massive 2020 shift and ascension has made us almost artificial intolerant in those ways. Artificial GMOs are not good for you either. So try to eat natural on a basic 3D level. anyway, as a lot of us are going through these massive tower moments, many of us have had these huge transitions in our own lives. And this could be exiting a job, leaving a relationship, or maybe you're like me and you left a home, a geographic region that was just, you know, you were very emotionally tied to. And because these were things that we really loved, and in many cases for a lot of us, we may have even allowed them to somewhat define us. You know, I'm so-and-so's wife, or I'm an executive vice president for X corporation, or I'm a New Yorker. I always said that, you know? So because these were so important and so emotionally intertwined with us, this can be even more challenging as we make these transitions, because it's not just walking away from something, it's almost a part of you embedded in that. And a couple of things that have helped me working with cord cutting rituals and meditation specifically are guided meditations, seated meditations that I do. I actually did my own video on this in early 2020 as we were shifting from 2019 into 2020. I'm going to link to that video in the notes below because I included a lot of tips in that and walk you through a little mini cord cutting session. So if you are following a video or a guided meditation at home, I also recommend working with a black candle if you have access to one. And the black represents the clearing of the negative emotions, negative charges and ties, and also a white candle separately for purifying and cleansing. So when I sit in meditation to clear energetic cords, I first light the black and ask the universe, God, source to remove any of those negative ties, any of those kind of residue of trauma, unworthiness, lack, anything that is negatively charged for you as a result of this person or the situation. And similarly, I light the white candle after the black and say, please help me to purify, cleanse, transmute the energies that are being removed today. As I always say, customize and work with the tools that feel aligned for you. I also really like working with amethyst because this is a stone both known for intuition and third eye opening, as well as for sobriety. And when I think about that combo, it's really awesome for cord cutting because, you know, it's like having that clarity, third eye amethyst, to powerfully clear any self-sabotage and negative energy cords and kind of that sobriety side of the amethyst stone. in addition to stationary and cord cutting meditations and energy work, which, like I said, I would recommend checking out that video. I'm also going to link to two additional, not done by me, but just audio guided meditations. One that is a shorter seated meditation you can work with, and one that you can fall asleep to. It's kind of like a longer, but if you want to work with cord cutting and dream work, I recommend that. But I'm going to link to, as always, all of the resources in the notes here. I also recommend walking meditations. If physical locations bring up a heavily charged memory of a person or a situation, it could be a job, it could be the physical place where you worked, it could be you and an ex always went to this restaurant, or that's where they physically live or did live when you were together. I did a lot of these when I was in New York, even before I decided to leave. I definitely did it when I was on the way out, let me tell you. But even before, in the before times, I would walk and go places where I had experienced a lot of trauma, or where I had felt very mistreated by an ex, for example, or I was mistreating myself. I mean, that's kind of goes hand in hand, but that's a whole other topic. And I would go back to those locations and picture myself, my past self, kind of like, you know, being in the room, in the location with my past self, and send so much love and forgiveness, and kind of say that, you know, I'm done. Thank you, universe. I thank you for that lesson. I'm done with that. With that lesson, and I would like to clear and release and transmute it. And I personally imagine myself zipping up all of those moments, with like zipping it up from bottom to top, like a garment bag. Of like, here you go, I'm closing that up, thank you for that lesson. But you know, I worked in fashion forever, so I work with the zipper, the garment bag. But you can also envision a door closing or pulling a shade down, whatever works, or it really invokes kind of ending a chapter for you. And one of the keynotes in this is to really do it gently and with love and gratitude. If you want to slam the freaking door on someone, you may not fully be ready for the cord cutting yet. It's, you know, the cord cutting is really good when you've reached a place of like, I'm settled, I'm somewhat neutral. You know, it's really, really hard to fully be neutral. It's something I'm always working on, but where you feel a little bit more kind of integrated in the experience, and you can have some gratitude, even if not for the person or the boss or whatever, you can have some gratitude for yourself, for the lessons that you've learned. When you're in that place, that's a great time. So you want to, you know, it's a gentle closing of a door, or pulling down a shade, or for me, zipping up a bag. And if you're not in a city, if walking isn't really possible or doesn't make sense for you, but you still feel very charged by physical locations, you can also intentionally drive past those locations and send your past self love while doing the same actions, you know, while picturing that memory, that interaction with that person, times that you felt in trauma, times that you felt, you know, victimized in some way, and kind of giving gratitude, releasing and clearing and ending that chapter. And now that I'm back in PA and driving, I've realized this is the cool thing. I didn't drive for like 15 years. I would occasionally my ex would get drunk in the Hamptons and I would have to drive her years ago, but I wasn't like driving on the regs since I was probably 18, 19. So it's been forever. And I've realized now that I am driving, one of the good things is that you can totally much more easily talk to yourself and make all kinds of hand gestures while you're kind of confined to a space just with you, so you feel less self-conscious. Like if you want to do this cord cutting in your car, you may feel less crazy than if you were doing it on the street. I mean, let's be honest, it's me. So I still did all kinds of unapologetically, you know, witchy motions and gestures and chants on the streets of New York, but you get the point. Just trying to give all of the options. And now that I'm like in the middle of Pennsylvania, I will be more mindful of giving the options for the non-city folk, because that was my realm of experience. And I tend to, you know, we all speak what we know, right? But now you're going to get the walking and the driving options for spellcraft. So yeah, I'm also offering a specific, because so many people have come to me with this. I've seen it come up a lot in August, but just generally it's something that comes up with clients and friends that reach out to me. So I'm now offering a specific cord cutting reading and ritual package, and my website's currently getting revamped. But if that's something that calls out to you and you're interested, before it's up on my site, just email or DM me for more info and we can get started on that. We can do that right away. All right, so this is a shorter episode, but I hope that it was helpful. Before we head out, let's just quickly recap our cards. We're in that last week of August, everyone. Like it's, almost end of summer, I guess. And we're getting ready to move through the final week of that Leo ruled strength card, which reminds us to channel our inner power and really trust that kind of crown chakra as we're moving forward. And if we've been stuck, strength is like, how do we move forward? August also brings the Hero Fast, the teacher of life lessons and aha moments that will provide some much needed clarity as we head into Virgo season. And this week we pulled Seven of Cups, which can be kind of, as I said, a good problems to have card of having many, many options, but we can often get overwhelmed with the choice. So Seven of Cups reminds us to choose wisely and intuitively. As you may have seen this week, I'm all set up in my new tarot salon. So I am back on Instagram Live every Monday at 7:30 Eastern. If you want a live mini reading, it's a great chance because I get through as many as I can in the session. And even if you can't physically watch it at 7:30 Eastern, you can write a question through in advance and the live stays up for 24 hours. So it is a great chance if, you know, you haven't been able to book a reading with me, you can get a little mini reading with me on Mondays. Also, stay tuned because September is going to be a really fun month. I love fall. So I'm like, yes. And I'm just feeling like a lot lighter, a lot less dense since I got into my new space. So lots of good things coming in September. We have one of my favorite guests, and apparently yours, because I got so much amazing feedback via DM and comments when he was on in the winter. James from Osset Gypsy is going to be with us in September, right after the September overview. So we have a lot of fun content coming up. I'm also collaborating with him, as well as Lady in the Moon in Maine, doing some of their signature potions, and my deck is sold there, and looking to do some really fun pop-up experiences in the places that are open and that is a good fit. So I will keep you all posted for that. Thank you again so much for listening. Have a happy, happy Virgo season. And as always, stay magical AF.